When you think about it, it has to be one of the most intense relationships you'll ever have. When you choose to travel with someone, you're choosing to spend your every waking holiday moment with a person that you may not know that well at all. You're choosing to share every decision with them. You're choosing to share every experience, to share every hotel room, to share every meal and every drink and everything else. You're choosing to let this strange person see you at your absolute best and at your absolute worst. And you're choosing to see them at theirs. Is there any relationship more intense than the one shared by travel buddies? I don't think so. And today, we're going to talk about finding a good one and avoiding a bad one. Hi, I'm Ben Groundwater, and you're listening to Flight of Fancy, the traveller.com.au podcast. This episode is all about those people we share our experiences on the road with. It's about good travel buddies and bad ones. It's about making lifelong friends, about those you'll never lose touch with after sharing such amazing experiences. And it's about going overseas with someone and realizing that you absolutely hate each other. Joining me to do this today, I have two passionate travelers who have had more than their fair share of partners in crime. First up, she is a longtime adventurer who's also the global head of creative at Intrepid Travel, Lucy Piper. Hi, Lucy.
Hello, Ben.
Thank you for joining us. Next, he's a traveller.com.au writer who has had the dubious pleasure of being able to call me his travel buddy, Rob McFarlane. Hey,
mate.
Rob, how are you?
Good, mate. How you doing?
How was I to travel with? Was I pretty amazing?
Pretty hard work.
I feel like I was pretty good.
Yeah, as you'd expect. High maintenance.
Really? Yeah,
quite
yeah.
Diva-like.
Yeah. Yep. Just a bowl of blue M&Ms with it all the time.
Entourage surrounding you the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty
standard stuff. Yeah. Can you guys remember the first person you ever travelled with? Lucy, can you cast your mind back? What was your first ever travel buddy?
Oh, the first person I ever travelled with. Before I did, I was just thinking, is when you were talking about travel buddies before, I had never thought about how intense that relationship was until then, and now I'm like,
it's
oh my
super
goodness.
Intense. Like, it's more than a partner, like a girlfriend or a boyfriend or something.
But thinking back to my first travel buddy, yes, my best friend from high school, we actually travelled from England to Australia together
right.
for about 8 weeks, I think it
okay.
was.
Okay. So, are you still friends with this person?
Yes, we are. But we've definitely had our highs and lows
right.
in between.
So that first trip must have gone fairly well then.
It went well, but being on the road together, it put some things into the spotlight that in your day-to-day life you would never normally encounter.
Like, but they do get to see you at your best, because when you're on holiday, you're having the time of your life, but you also, you know, things can go wrong and that's your worst as well.
Yeah, and I think also being friends with someone, often you're friends because you're opposites, you're different people and you complement each other.
Mm.
And I think that when you're traveling, that kind of stuff that complements in normal life is heightened on the road. And so, like, I'm not great at planning. I like to do things kind of in a more relaxed fashion.
Yeah.
But this friend is like such a planner, really onto stuff like the details. So she would kind of take charge of flight times, like what time we need to get to the airport, which hotels we're staying at, what time the bus leaves, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I kind of abdicated all responsibility to things. And I remember at one point getting to an airport and she had misread the flight time and we missed the flight. And of course we're backpackers, so we had two beans to rub together and that was it, and we had to find a way to book another flight.
Yeah.
And
did you get mad?
Well, yeah, my mad was kind of smiling a knowing smile at her, like, oh, you really stuffed
yourself,
this one up, even though I'd abdicated all responsibility.
I think the perfect travel relationship really is you need one organizer and one person who's prepared to go with the flow. If you have two of either kind, you're going to run into trouble, basically.
Exactly.
Who was your first travel buddy, Rob?
So I traveled a fair bit with my sort of best friend at university.
Yeah.
And that worked really well almost because of that. He was super easygoing, very laid back.
Yeah.
I'm quite a detail-oriented person. I've got a lot of spreadsheets in my life.
Yeah, that
and
you do.
So and he was quite happy to let me do all that and to take control over that.
Right.
And that worked. If I'd been with someone who also wanted to do that would have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we went to Vegas. I think we went to New York. One road trip down through France, I used to own this ridiculous little car with like a tiny boot,
right.
which didn't have any space for bags. So we just had to stuff all our underwear in this sort of like glove compartment. And that was a pretty testing time. But we had a great time. We traveled and we're still friends to this day.
Yeah,
so
right.
it actually worked really well.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I went, as soon as I finished high school, I went overseas with a mate of mine, a guy called Carl, who we'd been friends. We hadn't actually been at high school together for a few years, but we kept in touch. And we both just happened to want to go traveling at the end of high school. So it was kind of it just worked, and we traveled together for about 9 months. And
wow.
Yeah.
That's a long.
Yeah, it was. And we had our dramas. We had a few fights along the way, because you just can't spend that much time with someone in their pocket without getting a little bit frustrated. Yeah, I actually found it wasn't the really big things that tended to come between us, but the little details, and we just niggle at each other, and you'd figure out what annoys the other person, and you just keep going.
You start getting more and more angry every day about the tiniest thing.
Yeah. We always came to blows over a CD at one point. Yeah, about who owned this CD.
Wow.
This was back when you traveled with CDs.
Can you remember the CD?
I can. It's Metallica Ride the Lightning. An album that I still enjoy to this day, and hopefully Carl does too. Unfortunately, we don't really talk to each other anymore.
Is it because of the trip?
No, it wasn't. No, we ended up living together for a few years after that, sharing a flat in Brisbane, and we just ended up going our separate ways, which does happen.
Who got the CD out of interest when in the big breakup? Did
I got the CD?
You got it.
Yeah. It was yours to begin with.
Still right? Yeah,
exactly.
That.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Carl.
Right. Yeah, sorry, mate. Do you think you're good to travel with? Rob, are you good to travel with?
Oh, I'm textbook traveler. I mean, it's sort of exhibition stuff, really. I would actually say I'm probably not very easy to travel with.
You're a bit of a nightmare.
If I tried to travel with me, I don't think I'd like me very much. Partly because of the spreadsheets, but I'm quite anal about the organization and being places on time. And I quite like to plan things. So I like to know where I'm doing. So I'm probably not the most carefree traveler in the world. And I think I would annoy me if I was traveling.
How about you, Lucy?
Oh, I was going to say, I think I would really annoy you, Rob, because I sound like the exact opposite.
Maybe that's good. You guys
I think maybe
each
this
other.
Could work.
I think that could work.
But I think it almost goes the opposite way, in that someone like me gets used to traveling with someone like you, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and you do less and less and less. The more kind of support that you have from your travel buddy, the less you ever have to do, and you just stop making decisions. And I think that is something when you're on the road, like, where are we going to have dinner tonight, Rob? And you're like, well, I've made 99% of the decisions. Lucy, why don't you decide where we're going to have dinner? And I'll be like, well, I don't really care. And then that's the start of an argument, and then it's just kind of built in there. So, but to answer the question, I think I'm probably, for that reason, not great to travel with.
You guys are so modest. Come on. I'm sure you're great.
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
If you had any of my ex-girlfriends on here, they probably have a different
story. That's nothing to do with travel. Talking about, things that complement each other, and I find if one person in the travel buddy relationship has a slightly better grasp of the local language than the other person does, then they end up getting loaded up with all the work, and they feel like they're doing everything. And the other person, you can tell that this has happened to me a few times. And the other person says, "Oh, can you ask them where the toilet is?" Like, you know how to ask where the toilet is. You've heard me say that like 20 times. And they, you're just better at it than me.
It is amazing how you will relinquish control, isn't it, in those situations?
Yeah.
If you have someone who either has the language or who's just a bit more assertive, then it's extraordinary how you can give them all of the responsibility. And as you say, like the most innocent, what color underwear should I wear today? All these things that decisions you would make normally on your own, suddenly they have to do it. And even on tours, like when you go on a tour and there's a tour leader, and I mean, you've been a tour leader, Ben, you must have felt that a lot where people just,
absolutely.
You're entirely in, you're there.
Is it going to rain today? I don't know if it's going to rain today. How much money will I spend today? How much money do you normally spend?
That could be a whole other podcast.
Stay tuned for that one.
It'd be riveting.
Yep.
No, it's funny. I've been lucky enough to travel a lot in tours. That whole thing of you're with someone that's from the country and they speak the language and they know what's
that
what.
Is the attraction
you
for
just,
a lot of people.
Exactly, but you take, you're able to, you're kind of able to step back from taking control of stuff. And then I find that it comes back to bite you as soon as your tour's over. And even when you're a really well-traveled person, you'll be on a tour for maybe a week or 10 days. And I've been on a tour in India, say, and then one day in Delhi. And I think, I've got this. And within 5 minutes, I've been scammed. I've paid $50 for a tuk-tuk.
You
I've
realize
got food
all
poisoning.
The behind-the-scenes things.
Yeah,
that
and I realize that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I've done that before as well. I can easily handle this on my own. Oh, this sucks. Lucy, you can't really slag off your current travel partner, can you?
No, it's my husband, so he's probably listening.
How do you guys go together?
Yeah, pretty good. I think he's the opposite to me as well. Mm-hmm. So he is a lot more detail orientated, a lot more responsible, a lot more level-headed, calm in a crisis, like all the things that you need to successfully get from A to B and have your logistics managed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of times where we've kind of had spats on the road and that kind of thing. But I guess we've been traveling for 13 years now. So like that's
right. You've got to have it down by now.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There's some days you're having your greatest holiday of all time and other days he's really annoyed at me just for being me. So that's what just, it's like on the road as
you're
well.
You're breathing too loud. Why are you breathing so loud? That's how I breathe. Rob, both of us have traveled with other types of family members, which is siblings.
Mm.
How has that gone for you? Because you and your brothers have traveled a fair bit, haven't you?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I've got two brothers and they're both very different characters.
Yeah.
And I've traveled a bit with both of them and it actually works really well. So I've got one brother who's quite intrepid. So we've done things like rafting through the Grand Canyon and we did a big road trip around Iceland.
Yep.
We once spent 10 days in Vegas together, which
you spent 10 days in Las Vegas.
And he's 11 years younger than me. So I basically crawled back to the airport.
He's like 15 or so.
And those were great trips and they went really well. And I've got another brother who's much more of a homebody, likes his creature comforts.
Yep.
And we've done stuff like we drove an Aston Martin through Scotland for a Bond-themed trip and went and stayed in a big castle in Ireland. So much more comfortable trips.
Yep.
But yeah, both worked really well. The only my youngest brother Luke, he is incredibly tardy, and so it doesn't matter how much time I give him to get ready, and he'll say things like, "Have I got time to have a shower?" And I'm like, "Mate, if you know the time we need to leave, if you think you can have a shower in that time, then do it. If you don't, and that is the one area." Faffing of the highest degree. You think you've left the house and he pops back to get something.
Yeah,
and
I've traveled with faffers and they're a nightmare.
Yeah.
You think you look at them and you sort of make a mental gauge of how much they need to do to get ready. And you think, okay, we're probably about 5 minutes away. And then 5 minutes pass and you look around and you're like, nothing has happened.
Totally.
What have you been doing? They've been shuffling around the room doing things.
Another pair of shoe change or that thing doesn't go with that outfit. And so, yeah, that has caused some friction with us on the road.
Yeah.
But apart from that, no, actually gone really well.
Yeah, that's good. I've traveled with my brother quite a lot, actually, and we get on really well. We're a good traveling team. Because basically, I'm the kind of person who I like to organize, I like to research, I like to plan and know what we're going to do. And he's a pretty chill sort of guy, and he's quite happy to have somebody else do that for him. So they complement each other nicely. He doesn't really care what we do. I sort of plan it all out, and then we're all good. The one thing that could possibly be a problem now is that he's recently become a vegan. And I don't know how to travel with a vegan. And I think this dietary thing... When you're traveling with someone with a very different diet to you, it can be an issue. I've traveled through Spain with a hardcore vegetarian, and it was a nightmare.
Did they lose a lot of weight?
No, we just had to go to vegetarian-friendly restaurants, and there are not many in Spain.
No.
And I love food, and I'm really passionate about making that part of my travel sort of experience.
Mm.
And it meant that I couldn't go to all these places that I really wanted to go to because I had to keep her happy. And every now and then she would accompany me to one of the restaurants that I would want to go to, and I'd order things like chipirones, which are a baby squid, and they would turn up and she would look at it and go, "Oh, that's gross. That's like a little baby. Oh, how can you do that?" I'm like, "Wow, this is fun, isn't it?"
Exactly. I'm really enjoying this meal.
Yeah.
That's really interesting because I've recently become a vegetarian.
Have you?
At the start of this year for environmental reasons. I love meat. Like, I'm a huge carnivore, but I thought I'll experiment for a few months and see how it goes.
Okay.
And I haven't traveled much since becoming vegetarian. I went to India, which is a really vegetarian friendly country. But now I'm thinking I'm going to be the worst travel partner of all time. This hadn't crossed my mind.
So your husband hasn't gone vegetarian then?
No.
I mean, that could be an issue. Could be a drama.
Mm.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll have to have can you have a green card, like a rule for when you're traveling? I'll eat cow when I'm traveling to make me a better travel buddy.
And I think a lot, I once had a girlfriend who was dairy and what's the other intolerance? Dairy on gluten.
Gluten.
And so I thought that was going to be a nightmare, but she was used to it. She made little snacks for planes and stuff.
Yeah.
And so often people just get used to making allowances and it didn't really impact on me that much actually. So often you think it's going to be a big deal, but when you try it, it's like, it's okay.
And in some ways it's actually nice to travel with someone who has different interests to you. and who sort of is a slightly different character to you, because it sort of opens up things that you may not normally have checked out. Like, I mean, you know, there were some nice vegetarian restaurants in Spain. I'm not probably not going to go back to them. But it does sort of present to you another side to the world, and it doesn't have to be vegetarianism. It can be just about anything. It could be sport or art or music, and things that they drag you along to these events, and you suddenly realize that they're actually quite amazing and interesting.
I mean, there's limits to that as well.
That variety of people that you travel with is the key, isn't it? And learning new things about different, like, just different ways of living. And I don't know, you come back, and it's, for me, like, coming back and having a story about someone that I met while I was traveling, and like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe what this guy did for a living. You find out that people are like a naval flight commander in a helicopter, and you hear their stories, and it's stories that you would never hear in your day-to-day life, and just being totally different like that. That's what
I mean, there are some deal breakers in that. For example, I have an almost phobic aversion to shopping and markets. Right. And a lot of the places you go, you know, you have to endure a market. And sometimes they're good for sort of local culture and stuff like that. But I have a very low threshold for that. Whereas, so if I'm traveling with someone who's a big shopper, that can be really hard work. That can be really,
right.
That can test my endurance.
Right. And it hasn't opened up the world of shopping to you?
Not in any way at all.
Right. I mean, I find that there are, you know, in my intro, I sort of talked about you share every hotel, you share every meal, you share every drink. One of the things to remember, I think, when you're traveling with someone is that you don't actually have to do that. You can take time away. You can decide to go and do something different each day. If the other person really wants to go shopping, knock yourself out. Go shopping. You can go and like hang out in a park or something like that.
As soon as I hear the word outlet mall, then it's like, we're on a different agenda today. You go and spend a day there, I'll go and remove my appendix or do something slightly less.
Although I assume once you're traveling with that significant other, there's more of a sort of expectation that you're going to do everything together, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so. And you don't even realize that there's an expectation that you're going to do it, but then you just kind of do the stuff.
I suppose if you're in this long-term relationship, hopefully you have some things in common.
we establish that on the way. But I guess the flip side is when, and both of us will travel solo from time to time. So when you do travel on your own, you realize that you have like these kind of niche things that you want to do on your own. Like I recently went to New York for the first time and I was traveling on my own, and I got to like indulge myself in spending time in art galleries and museums and things like that that you don't normally do if you're with your partner or something, because you don't want to put them out and think, oh, they might find this is really boring or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe he really loves shopping and wants to go to the outlet mall.
Maybe
but he hates shopping.
Those are two horrible words to hear.
Oh, they really are.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Intrepid's group sizes are small enough to feel like you're exploring a destination independently, but big enough to create a good social vibe. Average group size is about 10. That's a great number to let you connect with the people you meet without feeling like you're just a face in the crowd. There'll be people of all ages and backgrounds from all over the world. It's like a hostel dorm room that travels with you. And the best bit? You can take them or leave them on any given day, with plenty of free time built into the itineraries. Visit intrepidtravel.com to learn more. I'm here with Rob McFarlane and Lucy Piper, and we are talking about travel buddies, people that you share your experience with on the road. We've talked a lot about people that we already know that we decide to travel with, but have you guys wound up meeting someone on the road and then spending some extra time with them and traveling around?
I have. Actually, that was the reason I ended up in Australia.
Right.
I did a tour in New Zealand and I met a delightful Irish girl who was on this tour. And then she was coming to Australia to do some work. And I think I went back to the UK and it was November and cold and grey and horrible. And so I decided to come to Australia and thought, I'll just come here for 2 or 3 months, see how it pans out. And we ended up being together for a couple of years. But that's pretty much how I ended up in Australia. And I don't think I would have come here. I would come here to travel, but I wouldn't have come here to live if it hadn't been for her. So that was definitely what felt like a pretty trivial decision at the time, which took my life in a totally different direction.
Right. Yeah. How about you, Lucy?
I don't really have a longer term example like that, but I do remember one particular time when I was in Barcelona and I was wearing like my university jumper or something, and I was in an art gallery and this American guy came up to me and kind of said, oh, hey, are you from UCL? And I looked down at my jumper and kind of said, well, yeah. And he said, so am I. And he proceeded to follow me and my friend around for the next 2 days. And he was so annoying, painful, and we couldn't get rid of him. And
he really needed a friend.
Mm. And looking back on it, had I been older and a little bit more understanding of how the world works and how you
Did you guys speak to him at any point, or was he just sort of trailing along behind you?
I think we started talking to him to try and get to know him, but he was really grating. Oh. And we wanted to ditch him. We couldn't get rid of him.
What was his name? Do you remember his name?
I can't remember. I blocked him from my memory until now, until with like going back through it.
Sounds like a Bernard, doesn't it?
But since then, I've never, ever worn a piece of merchandise out right. while I've been traveling.
No football jerseys.
Yeah, exactly. That identifies you.
Right.
As a supporter,
of alumni of any kind of organization or geographical location.
Oh.
Sometimes it can be really difficult to A, meet people who you're going to want to travel with, and also decide that that is a person that you want to spend this extended amount of time with. I stayed in a hostel in Istanbul once, and I met this Canadian guy. He seemed like a pretty nice guy. And he really wanted to go out to Cappadocia, which is about a 12-hour bus ride, basically. And his plan was to go out overnight, 12-hour bus ride, get to Cappadocia, spend the day there, jump on a 12-hour bus ride back to Istanbul, and basically just spend 12 hours in Cappadocia. And I hardly had any time, but I was like, yeah, you know, I want to do that, and I may not ever get back here, so let's do it. Let's go together. And we've jumped on this bus, and it was about, you know, 11 o'clock at night. We've got like 10 hours on the bus left together. And we were just sort of, you know, doing the whole small talk thing. And he turns to me and he's like, so have I told you about my criminal past at all? And I was like, no, you have not. Please enlighten me on your criminal past. It turned out he was a car thief for a while and spent some time in jail. Had a sort of a misspent youth, basically. But it was one of those moments where I thought, have I drastically misjudged this situation? Am I in a whole lot of trouble? Like, how do you know? How do you know what people are like until you throw yourself into this situation?
I mean, you just don't, do you? I mean, even with friends or with partners, I mean, you can think you know them, and then you get on a trip with them and you see this whole other side of how they react to sort of stressful situations or where unexpected things happen. Yeah. So it really is a bit of a leap of faith, and it can go amazingly or it can go truly.
And also they get to see you at when you have a meltdown as well.
Exactly. Yeah, it goes both ways. You're not always the best version of yourself when you're traveling. So it can be, and certainly for relationships, it can be a real make or break. I know loads of people have been together, gone traveling for the first time, all off afterwards because they saw, you know, aspects of each other.
I reckon it's a great test, and I always... There's alarm bells when you have friends who are a couple and maybe they've been together 1 or 2 years and they decide they're going to get married or whatever, and they've never been traveling together, and you think, they don't know everything yet. You've been living together in your comfortable apartment.
Like people say, oh, you don't know someone until you live together. It's like, wait till you travel together.
Wait till
they've got food poisoning and toilet about 2 meters away.
Diarrhea with one bathroom.
And that's the thing.
Every traveler has been there as well.
Traveling, like, then your friends that are your travel buddies who are not necessarily your partner then get to see a side of you like only your husband or wife does. Because we travel through work from time to time, and so you'll share rooms, and quite often if you've eaten something dodgy or whatever, you get sick and you're sharing a room with a colleague that maybe you didn't know each other that well before your week-long work research trip. By the end of it, you're pretty close. You're almost married, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
It is really intense, isn't it? It's a very... And even when you're traveling with strangers, if you join a tour or when we do work trips with other journalists and you suddenly turn up at an airport and then spend a week, you know, fairly intensely, 24 hours a day with people that often you don't know.
Yeah.
And it can be great, but it can also
sometimes you really miss them afterwards.
Yeah.
Other times you think, thank God that's it.
Now I'm watered out seeing for a bit longer.
Yeah, not to mention any names or anything.
Actually, I once remember having to sort of check a fairly new girlfriend for leeches. So we've been in this sort of area and we both had to do this sort of leech check on each other.
This is just part of your dating ritual.
Pretty much sort of third date thing. Coffee, leech check.
Yeah,
and
you're
that
in
was,
Paris.
There was really nothing romantic about that. And that was like, we really do know each other quite well now.
Let's talk about some things to watch out for when you're choosing your travel buddy, some sort of traits that people can have that you need to, that should set up alarm bells. One of the things for me is that if you and your potential buddy have different budgets, you have different amounts of money, this can lead to some big dramas, because one person wants to do lots of really cool, amazing, expensive things, and the other one just wants to slum it in hostels and eat two-minute noodles. And has this happened to you?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah.
But I have a fairly frugal approach to traveling. And so when I'm with someone who's quite lavish,
traveling.
Yeah, well, to life in general, I guess. It's my ancestry. I can't help it. And yeah, that can be a real. I once had a girlfriend who, I mean, we were in this sounds a very trivial example. We were in a supermarket and we were buying some tea, and it was 2-for-1 on for tea. But she only still got one of the packets because she didn't really have space, so didn't want to carry the other one.
Right.
I'm like, are you crazy? It's 2-for-1. Like, why wouldn't we take the second packet? And that just said a lot about her sort of attitude to sort of money right. and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that was the start of a very tricky relationship. Because she was happy to splash a lot of money on experiences. And I was like, well, we don't need to do it that premium way. There's other ways we can do that. And so that can be a real issue.
Yeah, and often it's things that you actually want to spend money on. It's not even having this different amounts of money. It's that you really sort of place value on a certain experience that you really want to do and the other person doesn't. I've been fortunate to travel with a couple of partners, not at the same time, fortunately. who are really into
table for three.
Who are really into food, and as am I. And so, you know, they find it totally reasonable to spend like $40 a night on a hostel bed and then $300 on a meal, because that's what we really want to do. Whereas some people would think that's insane. Like, you want to stay in a fancy hotel and then just go and eat a normal meal. But you just need to find someone who has those sort of that commonality of interest, I suppose.
I'd be keen for the hostel and the cheap meal option.
Would you?
You'd go hostel and cheap. No, see, I'd go for the hostel and then splash out on the meal. I don't want to be tight when like paying for good food on holiday. It's the best. But it's when you're paying the bill, if you've got someone in your group or one of your travel buddies and they like pull out their calculator and...
Why are you pointing at me, Ben?
Pull out their calculator and work it out to the cent. Do you do that, Rob?
I mean, I just think it's important that things are allocated.
This is awkward. Put
it that way.
The country for you is Brazil. I don't know if you've spent much time there.
No, but I've never been.
I've been to a few restaurants, churrascarias and other places like that. And when it comes to bill splitting, you will sit there. You don't even have to ask. They will come around the table and write out a separate bill for each person and put it in front of them at the end of the meal.
I'm moving to Brazil.
That's the
basically,
place.
Basically, I'm moving to Brazil.
That is the place.
That sounds like my...
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, when you're choosing travel buddies, I find you really need someone who's easygoing, because when you travel, things go wrong all the time, and it's not about avoiding those things because you can't. It's about how you deal with them, and you need someone who's just going to roll with the punches and go, you know, that's cool. People who stress a lot, you're in trouble.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, stuff is going to go wrong, and often that's some of the best experiences. Some of your best travel tales are when something unexpected happens or where things don't quite go according to plan.
You and actually do need to be able to laugh in the face of danger.
Very much so, because how you react to that determines that story. You know, if you sort of, you know, you're really stressed about it then, but if you sort of go with it, often it can end up really well. And so, yeah, I think easygoing is definitely the...
And laughter's the key, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Even when you're in the moment and you know that it's a tenuous experience or it's a little bit dangerous or it's really uncomfortable and you're sick or something like that, kind of picturing yourself retelling the story when you get home is the thing that helps you laugh about it in that period of time. And if you can't laugh about it, if you're with someone that's not, doesn't have the capability to laugh, then I think that's a dud travel.
And you also need someone who's prepared to cut you a bit of slack for stuffing up as well. Because I like being the organizer, but sometimes I stuff up and I book things that I think are going to be amazing and they turn out not to be amazing. And you don't really want to be traveling with someone who's going
to
get upset
about
it. Oh, absolutely.
Like,
I'll put my hand up. Even recently, my girlfriend and I were in Vietnam, and I thought it'd be really fun to take the train from Ho Chi Minh City up to Hue rather than fly. We take an overnight sleeper train because that's just fun. That's an adventure. And trains are awesome. And we got on board and it was not an awesome train.
Oh,
there were like cockroaches everywhere.
Oh, God.
And it was just kind of, it was not particularly romantic or anything at all. It was just kind of sucked. But my girlfriend was super cool about it. We just kind of laughed and like, well, what can we do? Lucky we brought a bottle of whiskey from duty free.
I've been on that train and I have a totally different experience.
Really?
Of it, but I think it's because we drank a few beers whilst we were on the train in the dinner cart with some of the locals and then it seemed like fun. I didn't notice the cockroaches.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, it was only one cockroach and it might have been an outlier. You know, someone may have just brought it on board and it was just then.
Someone's pet.
Yeah, that's right. Well, wasn't for long. but on that in a similar vein, whingers. You don't want to be travelling with somebody who whingers a lot there.
It's the worst.
Mm.
I think that I've had experiences with people that I've been traveling on the road with who complain about the thing that a country is known for. And it just makes me think, why are you in that country? What are you doing here? Like, I was traveling again through India, and one of the friends that I was traveling with was really unhappy about the spicy food and the hot weather and the dust.
Yeah, interesting holiday.
The dust was provoking her asthma. She doesn't eat spicy food ever. She doesn't deal well with hot temperatures. And I was just thinking,
New Zealand is the place for you.
You chose, not India. You chose India. Like, it's question mark. And it made it a really uncomfortable experience for her.
Mm.
And I just think, why would you choose that place for your holiday and then complain about it, and then make it worse for everyone else is trying to resolve
the situation?
Or we'll just get you a naan, or we'll get you some chips.
It just makes it miserable for everybody else. I was on a tour once, and there was one guy who just was determined to have a bad time, and everything was wrong. You know, we'd stop in one place, and he'd complain that we weren't getting long enough in that place, and then we'd stop in another one, and he'd complain that we were getting far too long, and what was he going to do for all this time? And it just brings everybody else down.
Yeah, and what interesting, I found that often it's people who've traveled a lot who can be the worst whingers, because nowhere is as good as it was the first time they went.
Right,
there.
Yeah. Oh, should have been here 10 years ago.
Should have been here 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Well, I wasn't.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. Can't we still have a good time?
I mean, travel writers never do that.
Yeah,
do
they? You never catch us. Kind of that. But that can be equally as frustrating.
Yeah. Now, we're going to have to wrap up, unfortunately, but I'm going to ask you one more question to finish up. What's your top tip for being a great travel partner?
I think you have to be open, like being open to experiences that you have on the road, open to connecting with people and trying new things, and knowing that you might not like something, like the food might not be what you're expecting, or the accommodation might not be what you're expecting, but just being open to the experience. Because like we said, even when stuff is going wrong, there's a laugh at the end of it, or there's a good story at the end of it. So just being open to stuff. That's probably my number one tip.
Yep. Rob?
Yeah, I think the same. I think tolerance. You know, you're not in your own country anymore. There's going to be different rules apply, different cultures, and so you're there to experience that.
Yeah.
And a sense of humor. Like, you're on holidays, so just have a good time, even when things are going wrong. Just try and see there's normally always a bright side of it. Yeah. You know, try and see that and think of it as a good story.
Yeah, those are both excellent points. They're basically taking what I was going to say. I would say another thing, though, just choose your travel buddies carefully, I think. You know, try and get a gauge of what people like, how much money they've got to spend, you know, where they want to go, all of those things. And hopefully that will make your relationship easier and happy, and you'll be friends, you know, and travel buddies for a long time. Guys, thanks so much. Rob, Lucy, really appreciate having you guys on board. It's been amazing.
Thanks, mate.
If you would like to read more stories from Rob and myself, you can check us out on traveller.com.au. If you'd like to find amazing tours where you can get a whole lot of buddies together, you can check out intrepidtravel.com. And if you'd like to subscribe to Flight of Fancy, check us out on iTunes or your favourite podcasting app. And we'll see you next time on Flight of Fancy.